As the winter sort of starts to look like it might actually arrive this year, as the grey rolls over and the cool does seem to give us a run for our money. I've heard in Castlemaine it's so windy and frothy that it's so windy that it will blow the froth off your cappuccino. This kind of weather makes us think of a food item. It's called soup. It's one of my favourite things in the world. And luckily, it's a love that's shared by Danny Vallant. This is our regular Danny who comes in for our section, Food, Glorious Food. Welcome to Afternoons, Danny.
It is great to be here. It's great to be your regular Danny.
You're my only Danny. And you always special. Bring the goods too. You love soup. As much
do.
As I love soup. Tell us the story of 1 year ago, what you were doing today.
So a year ago today, I was in Japan, a country that loves its soup. Is the song going to go the whole time?
The whole time. No, it's okay. I'm fading it out.
I don't know what the Japanese soup anthem is, but there probably is one or two. I was in Kyoto Railway Station. I was looking for ramen, which is the Japanese noodle soup, and I really wanted it. In Japan, restaurants are famously tricky to find. They tuck them away. So these ones, there's a whole ramen alley on the 10th floor of a railway station building, and yeah, had to really find the right lift to get up in before we found that, you know, followed the beautiful smell of pork broth and sesame and spice, and found the exact bowl of sesame scented noodles that I needed to make me feel absolutely perfect and good.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I can hear the sound of a cold coming on.
Yes, well, as research for this segment, I got myself a cold and then cured it.
With which soup, of course?
With chicken soup.
Okay, so is there any science behind this chicken soup being the penicillin of all soups, or is it just an association? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think empirical experience is science, and I've used my own body as the scientist. We can talk about collagen, we can talk about gelatin, we can talk about all the enriching properties that are in these broths that soups
Boring.
Are based upon.
Just put it in your mouth. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think just as powerful is the snuggle factor, you know, that feeling where you've got your hands around that bowl.
Oh, yeah.
The beautiful steam, the scented steam of that bubbling broth, that feeling that you might have maybe a little blankie over your knees as you, you know, slurp on that soup. The slippers, a hot buttered toast, even that feeling that, you know, someone might bring you a bowl of soup because you might be feeling a little bit poorly. I mean, I think all those aspects are just as healing as the actual elements, you know, the enrichment that goes into our physical bodies. So I'm a big fan of soup, and it's, you know, 360 degrees of soup.
Right. If you have a favourite soup, a soup recipe or a soup memory to share with us, give us a buzz, 1300 222 774. What is your go-to soup recipe that anyone can make, or perhaps your fanciest one that you stumbled across in a small corner of the world? 1300 222 774, or of course SMS us 0437 774 774 with your favourite soup recipe or memory. Danny Vallant, there are many different types of soups, and some I'm going to put in the category of a bit more complicated. You've mentioned ramen, you've mentioned chicken. Other ones we're going to call the lazy soups. These are soups that basically involve one vegetable and some spices, and anyone can make them.
Oh, yeah.
That we're talking here, things like pumpkin soup.
Yep.
Cauliflower soup.
Yes, celeriac.
Celeriac. See, now you're getting a bit fancy.
It's just a knobbly root vegetable that we find around this time of year.
But you have to commit. It's not a cheap vegetable, is it?
Oh, it can be.
It's an ugly vegetable is what I'm saying. But it tastes really good. That's the one that kind of looks like a screwed up magic pudding face.
Totally. It's like an old man that's just been living in a cave for a long time, and he's come out and he's suddenly a vegetable that wants to be made into soup. I don't know.
The great talent that you often have, though, is putting a little twist on something and bringing it back to life again. So when it comes to those, you know, easy soups, what are some of the tweaks that we can add in to spice them up?
Yeah, look, one of my absolute favourites is to cook your base vegetables in butter. So if you're doing a tomato soup or a pumpkin soup even, and you want to maybe start with a bit of a base with onions or some leek, I think just cooking those out in butter, or even doing the pumpkin in butter, the tomatoes in butter. I'm just basically all about the butter, and I think that just adds just a sweetness and a richness to the vegetables itself, but it permeates the whole soup so that when you come to eat it at the end, you've just got this extra layer of healing goodness.
Do you remember in the 80s, often there was a soup that was well used in kitchens? It was called French onion soup. It wasn't made from French onions themselves. It was made from a stock of sorts.
Yeah.
And often people would sprinkle it into a soup. Now, one of the tricks that my mother-in-law had was she would add a bit of French onion as a stock base, but then add the vegetables on top and make a delicious vegetable soup.
You're talking about the powder, like the sachet.
Yeah, that's
the sachet. Because, I mean, there is a grand history of the French onion soup that les Français make.
That's
and
right.
It's a beef broth usually, but there's lots of onion through it. And
I'm talking about the crappy cheap one that you get from the supermarket.
Like the foil packet.
Exactly.
Rip and sprinkled.
I'm not a soup snob. I think if you want to pop a bit of that in, like I actually find it harder to go to the shop and buy that rather than, it's easier for me to fry up the onions themselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, putting variations on the theme sometimes
sure.
adds a little something.
No, look, that's going to be a lot of special little touches, and opening a foil packet could certainly be one of them.
Robin from Albury, do you have a recipe that you'd like to share with us?
It's actually a fragrant chicken and rice noodle soup. It's Ooh. A dual Duplay recipe, and it takes a little while, but one of the things I've always loved about this recipe is in the ingredients it says one good chicken.
Mm. Yeah.
I've never quite worked out how you work out how if the chicken is good or not good. But it's and it does have quite a list of ingredients. It's probably quite easy to be Googled and found. But it
Could
has,
you tell us, run us through a couple of the differentiating ones? Yeah.
Yeah. It's the good chicken, about a 1.5 kilo one, 2 white onions, ginger, cinnamon sticks, cardamom pods, star anise, brown sugar, fish sauce. And so you actually cook it in that, put the chicken in the water and bring that just to the boil and add all of those latter ingredients I've just mentioned. And then you actually, the breasts cook really quite, they cook before the rest. So you actually take it out, just take those out and then cook the rest, and then you shred off the chicken and that. But what you do end up with, then have some spring onions and things to serve with and bean shoots and that sort of thing. But you end up with a lot more stock, and then you can actually freeze that, and then it's really easy if you just want to buy a chicken breast and you can poach it in that. So it actually
Love
gives
it.
You a good quantity of stock. But it, I came upon it when my son, who's actually a chef and he's about 29 now, but he had like a really dreadful cold. And that got him better.
I'm sure it did. It sounds very sustaining.
I haven't made it to this winter yet.
Yeah.
But the other really quick go-to soup is you can do it with pumpkin, but it's I find sweet potatoes a lot easier because it's easy to peel. But you just saute off onion, ginger, and the sweet potatoes, add in chicken stock, the flesh of an orange.
Oh, that's nice.
And then you just cook that up a bit, blend it all up, and you serve that with a little bit of the rind, like really not the rind, the zest.
Finally,
zest, yeah, a little bit of extra ginger. And that's a really, really quick go-to soup and you can do it with carrot or pumpkin as well.
Very generous, Robin. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, it was fun.
I'm going to try that one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I like that.
The
orange. Really good. Very good. Now, the whole concept of the good chicken, I absolutely swear by, because you are wringing all the goodness out of the bones of these beautiful birds. So it does, I think, pay to find that good chicken, whether it's definitely free range, look maybe organic. One of my community breeds 4 different types of chicken for 4 different purposes. So
what?
Yes.
What suburbs that person live in? They must have a bit of land.
Yeah, they're out in the country.
Okay, but fair enough.
Yeah, so that's obviously not for most of us, but it's, you know, different chickens are good for different purposes.
Before we move off chicken soup, a plea from Helen in North Bowen. Old Claire and Danny, please tell me how to make my chicken soup taste better than dishwater.
Well, we could be back to the good chicken.
Yeah, the good chicken.
I mean, start with good produce.
One of the tricks too, dear Helen, is to make sure, this is what I do. I fry my, my whole chicken. I just actually pop the whole chicken in a pot and brown the skin before I add it to the soup. So I brown the chicken. It's a bit awkward. It's a big chicken in a fry pan, and I take that out, and I do it sometimes in butter or in ghee, and then I start frying off the onions, the carrots, the celery, the ginger, if, you know, I'm really going there.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of pumpkin. And I'll pop the chicken back in at a certain point. What are your tips?
Well, I think, you know, you're perhaps coming at it from a similar angle. I don't fry the chicken first, but when you're cooking with meat on the bone, it is recommended that you perhaps boil it or just simmer it for 20 minutes and then skim off any impurities that may come out. So that froth that comes out, just skim it out, rinse off that water, and start cooking it from there. So perhaps try that.
I'm going to share some of the texts that have been coming through now. I'm with Danny Vallant. This is Food Glorious Food, and we're talking soups today. Making world's cheapest, best soup. French onion, says this friend, and they say box wine has its place in cooking.
Oh, there you go.
Cast wine. Timorese fish soup, says Mark from Alphington. The East Timorese people swear by its curing powers. And Brun says the most earthly soup is miso. And to raise it to heaven, the tip that he gives, or she perhaps, is add sea urchin just as it's served.
Wow, ooh. If you got some of that lying around.
It's real fancy.
That sounds pretty funky. And I mean, miso is beautiful, and it's such a simple soup and so easy to make. You just need some miso paste. But that fermented nature of the miso paste, you know, the fermented aspect is replicated in European soups, like the Central European Polish soups that might have the sauerkraut, some of that fermented rye, some of those aspects. So I think we do see soup is such a, you know, it's everywhere. Every country's got its favourite soups. But we do see some of these elements replicated.
I'm going to take your suggestions now. Graham of Glen Waverley, do you have a soup that's your favourite that you'd like to share?
Most definitely. It's what they call my life-saving soup, and that's hot and sour soup.
Oh, yum. Actually, now, you know, Jules from Beer Duck has just texted in the moment you said that, so snap the two of you with the same recommendation.
Yeah, the reason why I call it my life-saving soup is because I was quite sick, and I'd come down with the flu quite heavy, and it was consuming me quite badly, but I needed to continue on what I was doing for the day.
Graham, you know the flu, you know it, don't you? It's not a cold. When you got it, you really got it.
This is through the muscles. This is everything. This is the whole work. So I called into this Chinese shop and said, listen, mate, I'm sick. I'm not well. I've got to keep going for a few more hours yet. What have you got for me? And he said, straight away, hot and sour soup. You wait for me. And he brought out this hot sour soup. I had the hot sour soup over the next half hour or so because it was something to get in. I can tell you by the end of the night, I was feeling so much better.
I love it. So,
and you can make it yourself.
How do you make it, Graham?
It just means that you've got to spend some time in putting it together, and your whole chicken and your chicken is the way to go. And if you're doing a whole chicken for a soup, for example, you need to segment the chicken. So you've got to break it down. So, you know, and break the bones if you can. And then you keep that simmering and simmering away until the meat is literally falling off the bones. And then everything's coming out of that into your soup stuff.
Oh, heaven. Thank you, Graham.
The other one is, if I can just quickly say to you, pumpkin soup. Not just a pumpkin soup, it's just pumpkin. Add onions and carrot and potato and pumpkin to your pumpkin soup, which you're cooking up with butter, and then you're adding your stock. And simmering that through until everything is lovely and tender, puree it, and have some sour cream with it,
yogurt
with it. Lovely toasted bread. Oh my goodness! Yeah. Yes, you can live on soup.
No, I'm
right.
Really, really
right.
Hungry.
Make your time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Graham, we want to come to your house for dinner. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Graham with Glen Waverley sharing his tips and tricks.
Two great soups.
I've got so many great calls to go to, Danny.
People love soup. Like, it really is at the heart of things.
Let's check with Mandy and Forrest. That's double R-E-S-T, you guys.
It is.
Because you've got something, some news of a celebratory nature.
Yes, every year, this will be the 11th one, I think, this year, we have a soup festival in Forrest on the Sunday of the Queen's birthday long weekend.
We get
anything up to 4,000 people, and we've got some fantastic restaurants in town. Every one of them does a soup. And so we have six different soups, and we have a vote for the best soup. We've got a brewery that usually sneaks some beer into the soup somewhere.
What's your favourite soup, Mandy? What do you want to win?
Look, I must admit, I liked the one year before last that came from Bespoke Harvest Restaurant. It was a potato and bacon soup. Ooh, and it was just magic. But the pumpkin and carrot and coriander one was pretty good last year too. So,
you seem to have a whole lot of interesting things happening over your Otway's Way with
well,
the...
Well, come down.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's great.
Do you commute, Mandy, or do you...
I do. I commute to Geelong at the moment. So, yep, every day.
And do you ever bring a bit of soup in a thermos?
I'm not the one who cooks it. I'm just the one who serves it. So, but yes, sometimes I am inclined to, I'm a hot food person. I don't really like salads, and there's nothing better in the world than a good hot soup, I think.
That's the truth. All right. Well, thanks for sharing the news of the Soup Festival. Birthday long weekend. We're talking soup here on Afternoons. Peter from Yulambi. Danny, you're going to love this one. My mum used to feed me Vegemite broth when I was a sick little tacker.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I've not tried that. But it does have that, you know, that sort of stocky, rich base, doesn't it, Vegemite? It's got a lot, yeah. I mean, you need a bit of salt in a soup.
I use chicken carcass, says this texter. First, I put the bones on the barbecue and lightly cook the chicken before I put it in a pot of water. Good one. Andrew from West Footscray has demanded that we address this issue. You're missing the most important ingredients to soup. It is bread. With your standard vegetable soup, I like an almost 50-50 ratio.
Bread toasted and dipping in, or are we putting...
I reckon that's what you're talking about, Andrew. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Because I'm not sure we're putting the bread in the soup. I love the French onion soup with its cheesy crouton over the top, but I'm not sure.
I reckon it's a dipping.
I reckon it's toast, because there's nothing like that crunch of the toast, but that bit of the toast that's gone soggy and is, you can almost slurp it as you bite. I just love soup and toast.
In Canada, there's this trick that they have with their soups, which I found odd at first and soon got into. They take a graham cracker or a water cracker of sorts and they crush it in their hand and then sprinkle it on the top of the soup, and that's sort of a ready-made crouton. Thanks for this segment, says this text. I'm so inspired. I make a chestnut and chorizo soup last year. I'll promptly go and look for the recipe to make it again. And Gav's texted in to tell us his tip. Pumpkin soup needs a bit of carrot and 1 teaspoon of tomato paste. It gives it some subtle bite, and of course onions softened in butter.
Yeah, there's the butter. I think pumpkin soup is so maligned. Like, it can be very boring. It's a cafe staple that not everybody likes.
Producer Jo is really upset by what you've said. She's about to come into out of the control room over here. She doesn't agree.
She's a pumpkin soup fan, is she? She's a pumpkin soup. She's up in arms about pumpkin soup. It is maligned, but it can be made interesting, and it can be taken in lots of different ways, lots of different places. So I like to add a little bit of coconut milk and some Thai curry flavors, and you can take that pumpkin soup from its boring place in the corner, in the naughty corner, and you can make it into a very tasty, sustaining and economical meal.
I've got the clarity through. No, she just doesn't think it's a legitimate soup. She calls it's lazy soup. It's in the lazy soup category.
What's wrong with a bit of lazy?
I'm with you. I've got a question for you, Danny Vallant. Best cheats version for Tom Yum soup, asks this person. I'm a tad intimidated by using lemongrass and other ingredients that I've never used before.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, the annoying answer is to say just get out there and get some lemongrass and just, you know, smash it up with, a rolling pin if you don't have a mortar and pestle, and just get those beautiful fresh flavours out. The cheats version would be to get some Tom Yum paste from your local grocery store, because it's very easily available. But it's really not that hard to make yourself. And if you do whiz up any of these sort of curry pastes, you can freeze them and you've got easy meals within reach just in your freezer. So... sorry, learn to love lemongrass. That's my answer.
Katina, I believe it is, from Greensboro. Hello.
Hello. How are you, Claire? Friend. I'm sorry, I came in halfway through the segment.
So I'll tell you who it is. It's the infamous cook and writer Danny Vallant. She comes in regularly.
Hello, Danny.
It's nice to chat to you.
Katina, tell us, what do you know about soup?
Well, you know, I'm a woman of a certain age. She's got 5 children, so soup is a bit of a mainstay for us. And I'm a midwife, and the soup I was going to call you about was my doula soup, which is a soup. It's a soup you make when a woman's in early labour. So you go to her home and you take the ingredients. So onions fried in olive oil with a bit of butter and garam masala, so the house starts to smell really cinnamony and fragrant. And then sweet potato, whatever's in the house actually, or what you've brought, sweet potato, potato, carrot, pumpkin, fry it all up so it's really fragrant and soft. And the key is the woman is chopping with those early contractions.
Wow.
It's
nice?
Part of that thing, because the worst thing you can do is just look at a woman and stare at her while she's in early labour. So you've got to keep a little bit busy.
Katina, and what's the origin of this tradition? Where did you hear about
it? I don't know.
It?
I think I made it up.
Oh, well, it's brilliant.
Because there is a bit of a tradition about making chocolate chip cookies, and you keep making them until you start to burn them, and that's when you know that, you know, you've got to stop making chocolate. And wow. So I was looking for a kind of a healthier, more useful alternative. Yeah. And then you add chickpeas. And basically, even though you don't have to stir it, it's a really lazy soup, but that's part of the thing of just stirring it. And and it's soup she can have later, and it's a great thing to bring a woman who's just had a baby as well.
What a beautiful tradition.
I just love that. And one thing I love about it is that it's vegetarian, and we have talked a lot about meat-based broths, but I think it's important to say that vegetarian soups are beautiful and can
vegan. You don't have to have the butter.
Sure.
You know, that just adds a bit of kind of extra something to it. And
just beautiful.
And you know, we've had coconut milk with it, but I think it's the garam masala actually that there is some evidence about cinnamon and the smell of cinnamon in labor. So
I've got to tell you something, Katina, while we were speaking together, one of your village called, his name's Ian, and he says that you delivered his son and that you were a beautiful doula. So there you go. Yeah. That's from Ian.
Oh, that's lovely. Thanks, Ian.
All the best to you.
Thanks. Love to you all too. Bye.
Bye. Doulas. They do know the secrets, don't
beautiful.
They?
Beautiful. And a baby welcomed into the world with a beautiful smell of cinnamon. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Danny Vallant, you know, sometimes when we have you in, you like to leave us with a bit of a challenge for our listeners, something that they can try that might be new in their lives, and a recipe that they can maybe bring into their family fold. What would you recommend for listeners now? What do you want to pass on to them about soups?
You've put me on the spot, but I'm going to say my emergency lentil soup. So that is a soup that I came up with when I forgot that I had children that I had to give dinner to.
Drat.
Standing at the, Mum, what's for dinner? You're hungry beings and you want food. Standing at the pantry, answered very, very slowly as I surveyed the scene and said, lentil soup with mustard confidence. But it's so easy. So basically it's just some red lentils, a couple of tins of tomatoes and some water, some curry powder and a little bit of stock if you've got it on hand. And just, let it simmer gently for 20 minutes or so. Blend it if you want to, but your kids are happy. And we eat that soup even when it's not an emergency now.
Do you know, recently Mia Friedman wrote a book, who's the head of Mamma Mia, Women's Network, and in it was about, I think, you know, the fallacy of work-life balance.
Mm.
And in it she allowed her son, Luca, to write a chapter about the ways that she had failed as a mother. It was a very courageous thing to do. And he basically said it was the times that you forgot to feed us, you know. Was the times that you know, there was nothing to eat in the house. So I think let that be a lesson to all of us.
Oh, yeah. Look, we've all been there.
Emergency lentil soup.
Yeah. You need that in your back pocket. Not literally. That'd get messy.
Danny Vallant, thanks for joining us on Afternoons.
A pleasure.
You can follow Danny, as I do, on Instagram, where you get to see beautiful, inspiring recipes. It's Danny, D-A-N-I, Vallant, V-A-L-E-N-T.